What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Well, today, tomorrow is Palm Sunday. It's the holiest week in the church year. Every Christian, every person who calls himself Christian is contemplating the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which brought about our salvation. And dominant to us at this time of the year is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saving all of mankind. And the salvation has come through his death. And it's a it's strange. You know, how do we get to this reality that we can personally contemplate the cross and see that cross was made for us and has a direct relationship on our lives, not only in this world, but for all eternity. And the Gospel of John, as it leads up to this Holy Week, Palm Sunday, in which he is hailed as King, and then we call Wednesday Spy Wednesday, because that's when Judas betrays him, and for 30 pieces of silver, turns him over to the high priest and the Sanhedrin and have him dragged in and brought in for trial, and then eventually before Pilate, who is going to have him crucified. Holy Thursday, which is his Last Supper with his apostles. Good Friday, in which he is actually crucified, died, and is buried. And then Easter Sunday. So this coming week is the holiest week, and that's what it's called, Holy Week. And it's preceded by this gospel from John today in preparation for that week. Many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus had done. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. They had put their faith in him. And now, Jesus is now becoming very popular. Some, however, went to the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and reported all that he had done. The result was that the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we to do," they said, "with this man who is performing all sorts of things and signs? If we let him go, the whole world will believe in him. Then Romans will come and sweep away our nation, our sanctuary." One of them, the number of that year, was the high priest Caiaphas. And he addressed them with these words: "You have no understanding whatever. Can you not see that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have a whole nation destroyed?" He did not say this of his own. He was rather as high priest for that year, that he prophesied that Jesus was to die for the nation, and not for this nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of all the world. So that the death of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, the vision now is not only, now the Jews were going to, these particular Jews were gathering to bring about his death. And when you read the Gospel accounts on Palm Sunday of the suffering and the dying of Jesus, that's what's going to be read, the Passion on Palm Sunday, as well as his entrance into Jerusalem, It will be read again on Good Friday. So that this account of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ is going to be announced all over the world, and then finally on Easter, his resurrection. But with regard to the death of Christ, how do I make that personally something that I can relate to? Who killed Jesus Christ? What was that event that his death on the cross means so much to each one of us? It says here in the gospel that every one of the children of God all over the world and for all time are to experience that relationship through his death. I used to work with my dad, who killed Jesus Christ? My dad was a wholesaler. He sold food and produce. And when I was about, from the time I was a young man, teenager, especially that I used to work on the truck with him. He had a big truck, and he made his living by selling to these little grocery stores. Wilkes-Barre, there were mining towns all outside of Wilkes-Barre, and in those days they didn't have supermarkets. They didn't have these Walmart stores. They were all little grocery stores, and there were these little towns that each had a grocery store. And my dad would sell them fruit and produce. And so he'd load up his truck in the morning in the market, and in the summertime and at different times during the year when he was very busy, I would help him. And I became very well acquainted with his customers. He had these stops in Wilkes-Barre and Ashley and Sugar Notch and Nanny Cook and Glenline. They were little mining towns. Some of those storekeepers and owners were Jewish. And I became well acquainted with a lot of Jewish people, both in the market in Wilkes-Barre and on the road in these little stores. And one of them, we were very good friends with, in fact, so much so I called him Uncle Louis Gross. He worked in a grocery store in Glenline. And he was telling us this story one day when I was in his grocery store. He said his little nephew went to school the first day. His nephew lived in Nanticoke, a mining town next to Glenline. And that town was mostly Christian. They were all Irish and Germans and Polish. And many of them worked in the mines. So they found out when this little boy went to school that he was Jewish. And they began to taunt him. You killed Jesus Christ. You killed Jesus Christ. And the little kid, 6 years old, he said, honest to God, I did. He said, maybe it was my Uncle Louis. He lives in Glenline. And Louis kind of laughed when he talked that way. But how prejudiced we were, and how we were so quick to say it was the Jews that killed Jesus Christ. And here this taunt, you killed Jesus Christ, of little children. And here, maybe it was the Uncle Louis. Well, I remember telling that story, how we just project onto others who killed Jesus Christ. I was telling this story of prejudice and kind of in the spirit of ecumenism at my anniversary mass when I was 50 years ordained. My cousin Barbara, who wasn't there, she was Barbara Roman. She married my cousin Chucky Roman, who was from Pittsburgh. And she wrote me a story to tell me about the death of Jesus Christ. She said she had heard that I had told this story at my anniversary mass from some of the cousins who had attended. And she said, well, here's one for you. She said, we were in our kitchen, and a Jewish neighbor of ours came over, and while she was visiting, Barbara was there with her little boy, and her little boy was four. And the Jewish visitor began to say, well, finally, those Catholics got it right. Mm-hmm. And Barbara said, what do you mean? She said, they finally admitted that it wasn't the Jews that killed Jesus Christ. And Barbara said, well, no, she kind of accepted that. And then the little boy who was standing there said, well, who did? And she said, the Romans. And of course, they were the Romans. And the little boy said, well, I'm sure it wasn't the Romans from Philadelphia. It could have been the Romans from Pittsburgh, because I have some Pittsburgh Romans. Who killed Jesus Christ? You see, if you really, like, nobody wants to admit I killed Jesus Christ, but I did. Jesus Christ died for all of us. It was my sin that he died for. If I were the only sinner in the world, God would have sent his Son from heaven to die on the cross for my sins. So much does he love me. Who killed Jesus Christ? I did. Until during this Lenten season, I can face the reality when I look at the cross that it was my sins that brought him to the cross. I'm never really going to be able to appreciate the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross until I face the dramatic, absolute truth. As I hold my crucifix now and gaze upon Jesus' death on the cross, until I look into my own heart and begin to see my sins that have brought Christ to the cross. When we go to the Eucharist and cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. How long has it been in your Christian life since you've looked at the cross and cried for mercy? What is the plea in your heart? The greatest sinners, when I recognize holiness in anyone, when I would see Mother Teresa holding her cross and crying out for God's mercy, when I would see some of the holiest people that I know weeping as they make the Stations of the Cross, and seeing the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ, why would God so put his Son into such pain and suffering if it weren't for the horrors of sin? My sin and your sin has brought this misery into the world. Wars, hatreds, clashes, the suffering and the brokenness of the body of Christ itself. Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, for centuries have broken the body into segments all over the world. We are all responsible for bringing Christ's body itself into its broken state. Ezekiel says that the Son of David is going to bring all of mankind into harmony, into peace, into unity. That harmony, peace, and unity exists in heaven. Those members of the body that have been called into that unity, into that peace, enter through the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is now ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. The Queen of all the saints and angels in the harmony of heaven are all of those who have entered that unity with complete love, knowing each one of them that they had to pass through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross in order to make their entrance into paradise. When the good thief was on the cross and he cried to Jesus, "Lord, have pity on me. Here I am. I am here because I have done terrible things." It was to him who entered the kingdom first that Jesus said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Christ's kingdom of paradise is only entered by those who are aware that this man is suffering, not through any suffering or deeds of his own, but because of my sins. The cry of the good thief at the side of Christ is the cry of every one of us. Every one of us have merited the death of the cross. But instead, Jesus took the cross in our behalf. Your sins are so horrible before God's face, and my sins are so horrible before God. Oh, I never did much. I'm not like the rest of men. You proud, ignorant person, not even realize that he is the one who has been your Savior. How many of us this Lent will go and it'll pass, and this is the last day for us before the entrance into Holy Week to come to contemplate the cross and to contemplate the reason for Jesus Christ suffering and death on the cross, and through that his resurrection is for my salvation and the forgiveness of my sins and the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And as each of us is about to enter into Holy Week, this is a tremendous time for a fearless and complete inventory of all the sins that we have committed during this past year, during our lifetime, and how important it is that we come before the cross, and especially in our adoration of the cross on Good Friday. I would encourage that we take a crucifix, every one of us, Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, and gaze upon the cross. St. Thomas said, "I have learned more from the crucifix than from any book that I have ever read." As you look upon the Son of God who became the Son of Man, who was obedient unto death, even to the death on the cross, and as you gaze upon his humility, his holiness, and his love, and that cross, that love that he has endured. And little children, sometimes when you tell them, "How much do you love me?" they stretch out their hands as far as they can, and they say, "This much." And Jesus, as you look at him on the cross, stretching out his arms and saying, "This much," and allowing himself to be nailed to the cross for our sins. Every nail that went into his body, every drop of blood that he sweat, and his death, he's saying, "On that cross, I love you, John. I love you, Chris. I love you." And make it personal. "And I'm doing this for you. I would lay down my life for you. Greater love than this no one has than to lay down one's life for a friend." And on that day, my friend Larry Durkin died, and he's going to be buried on Monday. But as he comes before the throne of God, Jesus is going to put that blood-stained arm around him. And the devil is going to be there shouting out his sins before the tribunal of God, because it's the tribunal of truth. And all the accusations and denunciations will come against him. And Jesus is going to say, "I'm guilty. I have taken all his sins upon myself." That same moment is going to come for all of us. And as we enter before that judgment seat of God, and he is the judge who knows every single thing that we have ever done, and there is nothing more horrible than sin, and each of us has it, that blood-stained body of Christ is there with us, innocent, not guilty, for each of us. He has taken upon himself on the cross the suffering of every human sinner in the whole world and gathered us into one body. And that is our ticket to heaven, the cross. That is our entrance into paradise, the cross. And even today, as I make it in preparation for coming Holy Week, I make it over you in blessing. I make it over you in an invitation to go to the sacrament where the priest will make that sign of the cross. As you enter the confessional, there's always a crucifix there to remind us that it is through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness of our personal sins. And that this whole world, no matter how dark, no matter how depraved, has been saved with its wars, with its violence, with its racism, with its brokenness. The whole world, with all its sinfulness, is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, coming down from Calvary upon the entire world. If I be lifted up, I will call all to myself. High above the entire world is the cross of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world.
Monsignor, is it possible that we hold on to those sins, that when at that moment he is standing there saying, I am taking them on, is it possible for us to somehow not give those to him?
Yes. Yes. Because of the nature of God, he will not force us. God is so desirous to love us, to save us, but not to the point where he forces us. His love is so gentle, so luring, so attractive, so desirous, as he gazes on you, child of God, daughter of God, son of God, he will not force you. The only true redemption is that which is free. You are free to stay attached in bondage to your slavery, to your sin. And what that's doing is destroying you. But you are free. What I think is, if any of you have a son, a daughter, a loved one who is attached that way, there is more that you can do, and that is pray. Pray that they will know the joy of releasing the bondage of sin and letting go of that brokenness, that they can experience that inner healing and that peace.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
Just the blessing with the sign of the cross. The cross of Christ, I would like to make over each one of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.